Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Troll step blocked by Jaylen Brown.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics
Show. Over the shoulder pass for Al Horford for the two-hand slam.
With Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jaylen pulls up, leans into a three. No good. Back iron. Rebound Middleton, and that's going to do it. Middleton does have to get across half court. Instead gives it up to Holiday. It's in the hands of Giannis. The final seconds will tick off the clock. Playing for number two, the Celtics with it without three starters and took the world champions to minute 48. But it's over, and the Bucks move into the driver's seat for the two seed. They beat the Celtics tonight 127-121.
Experience going forward for the playoffs, this is what you're going to see, where we have to execute and do some things down the stretch and had our opportunities. Like I said, the offensive rebounds stand out. More so than anything, that was it in the turnovers that really hurt us. And we felt we were defending okay in the half court, but kind of helping them out in that sense. So for those guys, it's invaluable. And the thing we learned or kind of know about ourselves is that's how we're going to play all year, regardless of who's in and who's out. It's going to be competitive games. You know, when we got the whole complement of players, we obviously can score a little bit better, defend a little bit better. But regardless who's playing, that's what I'm looking for, that effort. And you know, these guys will have that experience going forward in the playoffs.
Celtics head coach Ime Udoka after they came up short.
Devastating.
127-121. It's Milwaukee Bucks. One game to go, regular season tomorrow against Memphis. This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show here on 98.5 Sports Hub. You want to join us, 617-779-0985. How did you just overall, how did you feel how they handled that game, Chris? Were you upset by it because it felt like they're like, I felt like, to me, Tatum could have played. I know they had managed Al Horford on these second nights of back-to-backs. They had beat Chicago the night before. So the Horford thing I could understand. I don't know. Tatum not playing and some of those lineups late. And it was more of a competitive game than I thought it was going to be in that second half. So kudos to them there. But it just felt like they were being real cavalier about getting home court and playing for the two seed against Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a problem with it. You know, second night of a back-to-back, you're still looking big picture. We need to do damage in the playoffs. If you want to rest guys, especially an older guy like Horford, and whether it's just the way Ime coaches or it's the lack of depth the Celtics feel like they have overall, they put a lot of minutes on their starters this year. So I didn't have an issue with the way they approached the Milwaukee game. I think this game against Memphis tomorrow is interesting. In 50 minutes, we have Philadelphia tipping off against Indiana. Indiana is going to be missing some guys. Chris Duarte is out for the year. Jalen Smith is not going to play in this game. Goga Badaze is a game-time decision. So Indiana is basically mailing it in at this point. So let's see where the Celtics, you know, ultimately stand on all of this and what they want to do tomorrow night against the Grizzlies. If it were me, I would play everybody and try and win that game. For a couple of reasons. One, I do think you want to get as high a seed as possible because you have to look beyond the first round matchup, Jim. And I think the difference in a playoff series against Philadelphia or Milwaukee potentially could be that game seven's on your floor. Could be that games one and two are on your floor and you get a foothold in that series. So that's one. And two, you have a layoff here. With the play-in tournament, the playoffs don't start until the 16th. The Bruins have a game on the 16th. I mean, I guess they could do the doubleheader thing at the Garden, but I think it's more likely the Bruins will actually start a week from tomorrow. Sorry, the Bruins. The Celtics will start a week from tomorrow. So you're going to have a week off. You've been the best team in basketball for, you know, basically 2.5 months at this point. Do you want to lose that momentum by sort of shutting it down to a degree in the last two games of the year? I would say no. So I think for those two reasons, I think they should really sort of, you know, play everybody and try and win this game against the Grizzlies tomorrow night.
Yeah, so the Celtics can now still finish anywhere from 2-4, reading from Brian Robb, B-Robb, who's normally with us, but off today, celebrating the birthday of his son, 1 year old.
Yeah, Z-Robb, one year old today. Time flies.
So he writes here, the Celtics can finish anywhere from number 2 to number 4 in the Eastern Conference following the Bucks win over the Pistons on Friday night. However, there's some new wild cards in play that will create quite a bit of drama on the final days of the regular season in the East playoff race. So the one is already locked up. That happened, the Heat clinched. With the Celtics losing on Thursday night. But, boy, I mean, this will just give you a popsicle headache, but we'll try to give it to you slowly.
This is the stuff you love. You love this stuff. You love giving this stuff on the radio. This is like your favorite part.
The Celtics get the number 2 seed if they can beat Memphis tomorrow and the Bucks lose to the Cavs. Now, that could happen because the Cavs still have something to play for.
They do. Yeah, play, you know, they're trying to position themselves in the play-in. They want to get as high as they can. They would prefer to be in the 7-8 game rather than the 9-10. 7-8 game, you get two shots to get yourself into the playoffs. 9-10, you know, you really don't. So
they get the 3 seed if the Celtics beat Memphis and Milwaukee beats the Cavs. If the Celtics lose to Memphis, Milwaukee beats the Cavs, and Philadelphia goes 1-1 or worse. And then the Celtics will get the 4 seed if they lose to Memphis and basically tank tomorrow. Milwaukee loses to Cleveland, and Philadelphia goes 2-0.
I wouldn't rule out that 4 seed thing, and that's another reason I think you want to play this game tomorrow for real, is because, you know, Milwaukee could lose to the Cavs. I think Milwaukee's going to be playing their 3rd game in 4 days, and they might want to sort of shut it down a little bit. Philly has Indiana and the Pistons. So those are teams that are looking towards the lottery. Like, their seasons are over. So Philly could definitely go 2-0. And if you lose and Milwaukee doesn't really play against a Cleveland team that has a lot to play for, all of a sudden now you're the 4 seed, which means you're basically only going to have home court, you know, probably in one series. I don't think that's great. I really don't like that.
And who would the matchup be if they ended up at 4 as of right now?
It would be Toronto, which raises the whole vaccination issue as well.
Yeah, so I don't want that because I just believe in the sports poetic justice, call it sports karma, you will. Well, Chris, I don't think that they've done a very good job, and by they I mean the organization, for how they've, I don't know, kind of Matrix dodged the bullet with any of the questions about the vaccination issue. I know this has frustrated you. And so, yeah, okay. Like, you'd be the 4, they'd be the 5. So you'd have home court. And even if it went 7, like, okay, you get those 4 home games, you'd be fine. It shouldn't go 7 against that team. You have more talent than them. But those 3, if they lost that series, Chris, I don't want to deal with, like, the blowback. It'd be great for content, sure. But the annoying thing about, like, see, there should have been vaccines. Like, the whole vaccination thing again, like, those conversations, like, get out of my face with it. But it would be kind of be poetic justice for the way that, to me, in a way that the kind of how they've handled this thing, ducked it, dodged it, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
If they end up having to play there and they lost, like, you don't want any part of that. You don't want any part of Toronto. Yeah. I just think that they'd be playing with fire.
No, I mean, I would agree with you. I mean, it's not just the vaccination thing. I mean, again, I think from a global perspective of the playoffs, if you're the 4 seed, okay, you win. And then, you know, because the NBA playoffs, it's a bracket, right? So now you're locked in and playing Miami, and you're not going to have home court in that series. And even if you get by them, you get to the next series. It's probably Milwaukee or Philly, and then you wouldn't have home court in that.
Yeah.
That's just a lot of heavy lifting.
Well, how about this, too, just from a basketball standpoint? So I didn't like that last game where they don't have Robert Williams, and they're getting killed by Pascal Siakam as well. So, like, that's a series where I feel like you would ultimately miss him. Yes, you have more talent than them, but there's a lot going on with Toronto. Like, I don't think that that's as easy a matchup.
I would agree. And the other thing about Toronto, just taking the vaccination out of it, you know, I don't think they're, Gary Trent shot the 3 ball well for them. They're not the greatest 3-point shooting team, but they are very long. You know, OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, Scotty Barnes, who's an excellent rookie. They have some length to them. Precious Achiuwa, who's now making 3-pointers. They have some length and bounce and athleticism. And if you don't have Robert Williams, you know, they're the type of team that I feel like could muck up the game for the Celtics and challenge them on the defensive end. You know, basically Toronto's defense throwing a wrench into the gears of the Celtics offense just with their athleticism and length and ability to switch.
So ultimately it comes to this. I think you want the 3 seed and you want the favorable matchup with the Bulls, who are decimated from injury. They've come back down to earth. Like, that's who I think you want, right?
Bulls gave up 79 points in the first half last night. 79 points to Charlotte. They were getting booed on their own floor. And I know I've been a big Bulls backer, but that team's unraveling. And my backing was based on, I thought they were going to get Lonzo Ball back. I knew they were getting Patrick Williams back, and they have, and he's helped them. That would lengthen their rotation. But without Lonzo Ball at this point, they look lost. And the thing about Lonzo Ball that people forget, it's not just that he's a good passer. You know, he's a little bit like Smart. He's a very good defender.
Right.
And their defense right now is pretty porous. They give up 133 to the Hornets. They're getting booed off their own court. Zach LaVine is saying, you know, that he's not going to sugarcoat it. He's basically saying everybody has to do better, including the coaching. So he's going after Billy Donovan. They are a mess there, and that's the team you want in the first round. That's also the city I want to travel to the most.
No, I don't blame you. It's like a more fun here. They stay open later.
You know, nicer people, too.
I like Chicago. I don't blame you there. Yeah, no. Yeah. You'd certainly want to go there over Toronto, and you deal with all that. And what if you got the Rona, then you're stuck there.
Oh, my God. Oh, I know. God. And that's happened to a that happened to Celtics writers on the most recent trip there.
Oh, what a hell. Yeah, no, I guess now. So I thought it was cheesy how they handled the other night. I think you want to have the 2 seed, have home court. You shouldn't be afraid of Brooklyn. I think we agree on that.
Yeah.
But no, with what they're facing, yeah, no, you should be rooting for Chicago. Tune them up. It'll be like a 5-game series. Let Chris go have his fun in Chicago. Tear it up there. Yep, no, bring on the Bulls. We'll get Chris Forsberg's thoughts on how the Celtics should be handling this and how they'll handle tomorrow's game against Memphis. He's going to join us next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
At noon on Saturdays, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
3, got it.
With Gaspard Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Usually in the playoffs, it's about matchups. And guys are trying to find that matchup. You're trying to pick on the weak link. And in our group, it's tough to find a weak link because we all are strong. So, you know, where you might think is a weak link, for you guys, it's not as a weak link considered for most people. So in that aspect, being able to translate to the playoffs, our physicality, our versatility, and, you know, those things. So when it comes to the playoffs, you got to be able to adjust. It's all about matchups. And you got guys like us who can switch 1 through 5 and play positions in that versatile role is going to help us tremendously.
Marcus Smart sounding bullish on the Celtics' chances, even without, well, temporary, without Robert Williams. Who knows if he'll be back. I still don't know how great I feel about that. But either way, says they're going to be tough to deal with defensively, no matter who they're going to be facing. Sports Hub Celtics Show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. For more on the Seas, covering them for NBC Sports Boston, it's our pal Chris Forsberg joining us here in the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Good afternoon, Chris. Hi.
What up? What's your name?
So how should they handle this game against Memphis tomorrow, and where do you think is the ideal landing spot for the Celtics in terms of the seeding in the East?
So they'll have the benefit of getting to watch today when Philadelphia plays Indiana. You'll know what Milwaukee does tomorrow in an earlier game, and then I think you game plan from there. Honestly, I'd rather they play their guys and play well. You know, if they rest everybody, then guys like Tatum won't have played a game in almost 2 weeks going into the playoffs, and I don't love that. I mean, rest is great, but there's something to this team has been rolling. Why not just ride that momentum? And, hey, if that delivers you against the Nets, whatever. I don't want to say, like, the Nets are an easy opponent, and I get the difficulty with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and the storylines and all the headaches that come with it, and it's certainly better or more advantageous to play Chicago and pick on them and their terrible defense, but you know, like I just don't want to, I don't think you can game the system, and maybe they will, and maybe that's fine. I don't love the idea of Milwaukee in round 2 and having to play on the road, and so I think if you can get the 2 seed, you play for it, and you just deal with the headaches that come with it.
Yeah, Chris, I mean, I really agree with everything you said there, and you know, I think that you have to sort of look beyond round 1. I think so many people are focused and fixated on a round 1 matchup and fearing the Brooklyn Nets, but I think if you're going to get all the way to the NBA Finals, home court's going to be huge, and you want to have that in as many series as you can, which is sort of my way of asking, you know, you've seen the way the Celtics have played, obviously, for the last 34 games, and I think you were probably ahead of the curve and recognizing that it was for real. How important is home court for them? Because they've had some huge road wins during this stretch, and they've done a lot of, you know, damage, obviously, on the road. Are we overrating home court? Do they maybe feel like they don't need it?
You know, I don't know how they feel. I think Ime has tried hard to instill a road warrior type mentality, and he felt like that was really important for this group to have. That being said, like, I just feel like if you're going to have a game 7 against either Milwaukee or whoever it is, it just gets a little bit easier at home. And the one thing I keep going back to is role players. So I know the Celtics are going to lean really heavy on their top guys in the playoffs. Like, he may lean on the top seven about as hard as you can throughout the regular season. So I don't suspect he's going to loosen the rotation. That being said, like, Peyton Pritchard is going to play 15 minutes, and role players just play better at home. And I think Grant Williams and Peyton Pritchard and Derek White, those guys just get a little boost being home, and that can sometimes be the difference in a series. So that's why I think it's important from my perspective, is just, you know, you need everybody to you know, Jason Tatum can't play 48. So how do you survive those other 8 minutes? And, you know, the more that Peyton Pritchard can give you off the bench is going to help you there. And I know that sounds silly to be worrying about the eighth and ninth man, but sometimes in the Celtics starting five is so good, they can go up against anybody. It's what happens when they have to go to those sub lineups. And, you know, every bit of advantage you can get, you should try to take.
It was a successful surgery on the meniscus for Robert Williams. He's been hanging around the team. I heard Brad Stevens on TNR saying he's basically walking around like he had nothing. Do you have any further insight or any updates on his status?
Yeah, so all I've been told, and from people I trust, is that about the three-week mark, he might be able to sort of get this thing going. That doesn't mean he's going to be ready to jump into a playoff series, but, you know, he's going to be able to get on the basketball court and test it out and see how he's feeling. And there's real optimism by, like, the earliest portion of that 4 to 6 week timeline that he could be ready to go. So if for whatever reason the Celtics stumbled in round one and they're in game six and seven, I think there'll be a conversation. I don't want to say like he'd be ready at that point. It's so much is unknown as you ramp him up, but everyone seems to be pretty bullish on this idea that by round two, at the very worst, he'll be ready to go. And again, some of that's going to depend on how he feels when he gets out there. They're not going to rush him just to rush him. But that's why you hope that, you know, maybe you roll through round one and then you can give him a full 4 weeks before he has to get back out there in round two. And, you know, to me, it's just, he's the huge X factor. You guys know how much I like Dustin. Oh, yeah. The guy, but to me, if you have any chance against Milwaukee or Philadelphia, like, Rob's got to play and Rob's got to be good. And I'll say this too. I was very worried about, you know, just because it's a knee and the way he plays and the explosion and all that. And everyone I've talked to and who, you know, probably has a better WebMD than I do, but they tell me, like, don't worry about that. It's just, like, it comes down to pain tolerance for him and that it shouldn't affect how he plays. And so, it's just really encouraging to hear. Like, everyone has been super optimistic about this, and I think you can buy into that and not be scared of embracing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I mean, when have the Celtics ever been wrong about an injury? So, fantastic. He's coming back.
It's funny you say that, though, because on the day they announced that he had the surgery, I showed up at the Garden. Scal's like, "You must be pumped. Your boy's going to be back in 4 to 6 weeks." And I was like, "Well, forgive me if I'm a little bit pessimistic here, but, like, yeah, just like you said, Gasper, like, their injury history hasn't been great, and sometimes 4 to 6 weeks turns into 4 to 6 months, and we all know what happened with KG and Isaiah not being able to go through." And so it's like there's no shortage of like bad moments that related to injuries. But again, I haven't had a single person that I trust tell me that I should be overly concerned about this. And so maybe they're just worried about my fragile state of mind if Rob can't play basketball. But I am optimistic, more optimistic than I am typically with injuries for this team.
And just to keep it on the Robert Williams injury, Forsby, do you know anything like sort of how it compares to Lonzo Ball's different tears, maybe more of a tear for Lonzo? Has that come up at all? Obviously, the Bulls thought they were going to get him back, and now he's shut down for the year. That's one part of my question. The second part is, you know, you addressed the idea that he'll still have the same bounce. What's the concern level in terms of conditioning? Because you also mentioned, you know, Ime does lean heavily on those starters, and Rob, even if his knee feels great, he will have missed some significant time in terms of basketball shape.
Yeah, it's totally fair. So the Lonzo thing, I don't know too much about Lonzo except that it sounds like it started with a bone bruise, or there was a bone bruise as part of it that also is like messing with him a little bit. I don't know where specifically Lonzo's tear was. Everything I've been told about Rob is that it's essentially like a little flap, and it was in. And again, I don't know. Like, maybe this is just, unless you're the doctor, you know, who knows this stuff. But supposedly it's in a really good area, a part where the removal wasn't as cumbersome as like it could have been if it had been on a different part of the meniscus. So I trust what people are telling me, it's about as good of a situation as it could have been. Certainly they don't know until they go in there, but they felt pretty optimistic based on their scans that that's what it was. you always have, again, like, you don't know until you start ramping these guys up. And so, you know, if he could be out there in 3 weeks and just be like, yeah, it doesn't feel right. And he's certainly had injuries in the past where it hasn't responded. He tried to play on nine toes last year and just couldn't get through it. And, you know, groins and all these things. So there's still a level of having to get him out there and figure that out. As for, like, ramping him up, like, I assume Ime's not going to toss him in there for 40 minutes to start. And, you know, some of that will depend on how good Tyson's playing and how your bigs are and if Al's holding up at his age and all that. But, yeah, I think he'd be like, you know, maybe I could see him playing 20-something minutes a night at the start, and then you kind of feel it out from there.
Chris, you know, I want to go back to where we started with the seeding stuff. I'm with you in that I think they should be going for the two, that home court is ultimately important here. But the Nets took sole possession of the seventh seed last night. They beat up on the Cavs 118-107. I think it's noteworthy that they held Cleveland to 19 points in the first quarter. So I know Chris, you know, Gasper and I aren't that bullish on them, think that defense has been a weakness there. But I don't know, like, how do you feel about them? Do you fear the Nets?
I don't. And then I'm just like, if you're the Boston Celtics, you've been probably, no disrespect to Phoenix, but over the last half season worth of games, 41 games, they pretty much have the best offensive rating, best defensive rating. I don't think you should be fearing the 25th ranked defense in the league. It's just, I get it. They have a ton of star power. Kevin Durant is going to steal them a game against whoever they play in the playoffs. Kyrie might show up with his sage and steal another one. But, like, ultimately, I think even if you have to grind a little bit harder, you're going to win that series. I do worry about, like, the storylines and Kyrie and all. Like, it's going to be a little bit more of a circus than if you play the Bulls and all of a sudden it's just, you know, you're the better team in that series. But, again, I just worry about if you start gaming the system and, like, what that tells your players and, you know, what that – if you just start messing with the basketball gods, and it usually bites you.
Yeah.
So if that's the draw, that's the draw. And, like, look, maybe Milwaukee goes out tomorrow and keeps its foot on the gas and it becomes a moot point, and then it's what's going to be hilarious is all this slander I'm throwing at the Nets. I'm going to be like, oh, now the Nets are going to go out there and make the Bucks work, and maybe they'll wear them down for – no, you know, I'll spin it somehow to be positive, but – I just don't think you can sit here and be worried about that, but I certainly get it. You know, you don't want to not have the best player on the court, you know, and Jason Tatum, as much as he's elevated, like, Durant is still the best player out there. I just, the supporting cast stinks and they don't play defense and they're not as scary offensively, and you should still win that series.
I agree with everything you said, Forsby. I also will add in there, I don't think they're, I'm not going to say they're poorly coached, because they're not, but I think they're, like, average coached. Like, I don't think Steve Nash is a difference maker for, I don't think he helps them really. So I think that's part of it too. I want to ask you, because you talked about supporting cast. And, you know, last 10 games here, Derek White, the shooting's turned around. He's shooting 45% from the field, but more importantly, 44% from three. However, the other night against Milwaukee, late in that game, I thought he passed up a three-pointer he should have taken, you know, and ended up with a more difficult shot. And I feel like he kind of does that a lot. What's your confidence level in him, and what do you think his confidence level is at this point in his shot after, you know, a little bit of a bumpy stretch there?
Yeah, you know, I mean, as much as I'd love to be excited about the way that he has shot it, just like you said, I need to see it, especially in those clutch moments. There was one against Miami, I think, late. He had one with like 4:20 to go. It was one of the only baskets the Celtics scored down the stretch, but then he missed another one when they were sort of last gaps trying to catch up. Just like you said in that Bucks game the other night, I thought he passed up the look, drove, and then still came up short on that little runner. Like, I'm worried about crunch time offense with all of these guys. But especially, like, the random fifth guy until Rob is healthy. Like, is Derek White in your closing lineup? Because teams are going to swarm Tatum and Brown, and those other guys got to make shots. And, you know, I'm pretty confident in Marcus Smart. I know there's a level to that in terms of, like, how much you want him shooting. But, you know, he's proven with his play lately, like, that I'm okay with him being there. But can the other guys who are out there, whether it's Derek White or Al, even Horford, like, is Horford going to knock down shots when it matters? So, you know, that's the big question mark. But, you know, having Jason Tatum out there in crunch time will help in those situations, and it's just a matter of can they make defenses pay if they overcommit to it. But White will make the right plays. It's just the shot making. Certainly, I think it's good for him to see more go down lately. But yeah, it's one of the. I wrote four concerns I had going into the playoffs a couple of weeks ago, and one was health, and Rob tore the meniscus like a day later, so that's on me. I'm worried about crunch time offense because it just hasn't been good all season, and they haven't really been in that situation with their core over the past 41 games because of all the blowouts. I'm a little bit worried about Derek White. It just, you know, we haven't seen it, and the shot has to go. And then the last thing was just, you know, Ime's first playoffs, and like you said with Steve Nash, like, you know, it's just an adjustment. It's your first time going through this, and you can be on good teams. But I'm eager to see. He's checked every box, so I'm not too worried about it. But, you know, even like Nick Nurses of the world have won titles and been there. So it's just something you got to go through and learn.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, just for me on Derek White quickly, it's like, you know, I feel like sometimes I have more confidence in his shot than he does. Like, I feel like sometimes he damages the offense by just being unwilling to take some of these open threes. And I feel like it gets to a point where teams are banking on that. Like, they're banking on him passing up some of these open shots, you know? That you have to, for you to be a threat, you have to feel like you're a threat. And I really like the way he shot it recently, and I just wish he had a little more confidence. And when I watch them, sometimes they get frustrated, not that he misses, but that he doesn't even attempt some of these shots, which I think are good shots and shots the Celtics offense is manufacturing.
He needs Marcus Smart's confidence.
He does, actually. He does. I would like some of Marcus Smart's. What did Marcus Smart say? He said it before. What did he say the other night? It's proven when I take great shots, I'm a great shooter.
And he's not wrong. If you look at, like, when he shoots when he's open, he makes them. So, you know, you want your players to feel like that. Like you said, maybe those guys got to talk up Derek White before the start of these playoffs.
All right, Chris Forsberg covering the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. Always a pleasure talking to you, and enjoy the last regular season game, and we'll talk to you at some point during the playoffs.
All right, thanks, y'all.
Thanks, okay. Forsby.
And Chris comes to us via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Your thoughts on the Celtics and seeding and how they handled this game the other night against Milwaukee. You cool with it, or should they really be vying for that two seed? 617-779-0985. Back after this.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on the home of the seas, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's time to talk Celtics.
Man, how did the fish grease them?
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gaspar Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, we're all aware of what's going on. I don't think anybody cannot be aware, but I think everybody's just so close that you don't really know. Like, one game could change from when we were at first. At one point, as you know, we were fourth. So each game's important. We just got to stick to keep hooping each game. And we got a big one here in Memphis, and wherever we're at, we're at.
Derek White, after the loss to Milwaukee on Thursday. You know, good effort in that second half. And I know, look, the shot has been a concern, about Derek White. But since March 23rd, Chris, just a small sample, 8-game sample, 50% from deep.
Yeah, he's been better. Great.
Yeah, and 4 of 8 the other night, and so had some good shots in the first half as well. Where do you lament that trade? Do you think they should have got more? Do you think he's a fit? Like,
no, I think he's a fit, and I think it gives them some future flexibility. I mean, we'll see what happens in the playoffs. You know, that's something we'll get to, I think, with Chris Forsberg, maybe as we get through the playoffs, or if the season ends sooner than people expected to. But you hear so much, you know, Heim Bloom talk about wanting to have flexibility and the full menu being available. I think the Derek White deal gives them some flexibility. He's a valuable player. He would allow you to potentially move Smart if you wanted to sell high on him if you don't get as far in the playoffs as you want to. I know that's heresy for, you know, hoops heresy for some Celtics fans, the idea that you would move him. But if you get to a point where you feel like, no, we need a little more, or we need a different mix, then you couldn't possibly sell any higher on the guy than you are right now. So I think there's some flexibility there. I do lament a little bit. Look, I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth because I've criticized the Celtics in the past for hoarding these first round picks, but to go two years in a row without a first round pick. And you see some of the players, the young guys that are able to look at a guy like Trey Murphy down in New Orleans. You know, there are players you can get in the draft rotationally that can help you and maybe beef up your rotation a little bit. But at the end of the day, do I have a major problem with them giving up the first round pick for Derek White? I don't. I think it was a good deal. I think it was a good trade for them, but you don't want to make it too much of a habit to always be giving up first-round picks. I mean, the last 2 years, they get one first-round pick, to get out of Kemba's contract, and now you're getting another for a guy who's a good player, but he's not really a starter for you. I think the next time you give up a first-round pick, you have to make sure it's like for a third star or somebody who's like a star-caliber player.
So again, that entertaining second half against Milwaukee the other night, I thought it was interesting, the game that Sam Hauser had, and it almost feels like he's surpassed Aaron Nesmith in that rotation. So you're a big Aaron Nesmith guy. How's that make you feel? They handled him this whole year, by the way.
No, I mean, at this point, I think it's more on Nesmith. I mean, he just has to go out there and make the shots. You know, he does it in garbage time, but he doesn't necessarily do it when given an opportunity in meaningful minutes. And that's on him. I do feel like he's gotten an opportunity. I think they're still invested in him. It was pretty clear they wanted to move Romeo over Nesmith, and it makes sense because what the Celtics need is shooting, and that was supposed to be his biggest skill coming out of the draft. And for whatever reason, it hasn't taken, which is frustrating, because what you'd like to see with a guy like that is at least he can come in and knock down shots, and then you can develop the rest of the game. And his inability and inconsistency when it comes to knocking down shots has hurt him from being able to get the minutes to fully develop his game. So that's a frustrating one, because the one area where they do lack is sort of perimeter shot making. They could use more of that in their rotation, and he should be able to fill that hole, but he hasn't been able to, so a guy like Sam Hauser gets a shot.
You've had no movement on the Nets. You and I agree. Yeah. Like, defensively, bad. Coached, bad. Yes, like, they might put a scare into the Celtics if it ends up being the 2-7. That's that matchup in the first round because of Durant, and, you know, they'd probably steal a couple of games, and people would start to freak out. Yes, they have very high-end talent, but I'm with you. Like, I look at last night. I mentioned this to Forsberg. We had him on that last segment. 19 points they hold the Cavs to in the first quarter. It's the fewest Brooklyn's allowed in the first quarter of this season. Like, I'm not going to look at that and be like, oh, no, they've figured it out defensively.
I'd also have to watch that game. Like, you know, Cleveland has not been making a ton of shots lately outside of Darius Garland. That's kind of been an issue for them. They've really hit a downturn here.
So you haven't moved on Brooklyn. Chicago down for you.
Yeah, they're done.
Where do you tier the Celtics? Like, where are they in the hierarchy of the East?
For me, I mean, I still think Milwaukee's the most dangerous team. I would then go Philadelphia. Philadelphia and the Celtics, it's a toss-up to me, but I like what Philadelphia is getting out of Tyrese Maxey. I will say, though, Harden is not a great defensive player, looks out of shape, and has not played well. So I'm basically guessing that he has another gear there that he's going to go to. But I like Philadelphia. They have a couple of bench guys, George Niang, who's from this area, who they're getting some quality play out of, and I think that sort of helps them a little bit. I think it's close, but I'd give them a slight edge over the Celtics. You know, Embiid's having like an MVP season, and then it's the Celtics. So I basically feel like the only two teams that could beat the Celtics in a 7-game playoff series, or that should beat them in a 7-game playoff series, would be Milwaukee and, like, you know, Philly. Philly, Celtics, come back to me when that series is happening. I could change my pick and be like, I'm taking the Celtics. You know, who knows? I think that's really close, those two. But if Philly beats the Celtics, I'm not going to be like, oh, Celtics, you know, you blew it. You know, that's a team I think that can beat them. Miami's dangerous, but I still like the Celtics. And I've sort of come to this conclusion that Miami's more like some of your old Hawks teams, where they're more like regular season. And I don't think you can win a championship if Jimmy Butler's your best player.
Yeah, I think, look, they're tough. They're mentally tough, physically tough, all of that. It's a Pat Riley type organization, right? And I think that Eric Spoelstra has proven himself as one of the better coaches in the league here. It's not just like, you know, it wasn't just because he had LeBron. He's a legit good coach. But I just think, you know, you saw what their ceiling is, Chris, when they made it to the bubble final a few years back. Like, I'm with you. Like, they're good. They'd be a tough out. I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up getting to the East Final again. But they're going to win a title with that talent and what the level is? No. Philly, I've come down on. I'm glad you mentioned James Harden. Have you seen his numbers recently?
Yeah, they're terrible.
Last five games, 15 points per game. 27% from three. Those numbers, he's become Fat Ben Simmons.
I like that, Fat Ben Simmons. I don't know. Yeah, he just looks out of shape.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other way to put it. He looks like roly-poly. I mean, sometimes you're like, is it the beard? Is the beard adding weight to him? And then you see him in the uniform, and you're like, nope, it's weight that's adding weight to him. Like,
yeah.
It's just, he doesn't look like he's in shape. He's getting older. They've taken away, he still gets to the free throw line more than anybody in the league, but they've taken away some of his pet moves where he's getting to the free throw line. It
yeah,
just
a lot
seems
of refs
like,
aren't buying that anymore.
Yeah.
That head jerk.
The head jerk. It just seems like he has to work. Like, sometimes I watch him play and I feel like I'm watching like comic book guy from The Simpsons. Like, he's just huffing and puffing.
Waddling.
Yeah, waddling to try and get to his spots.
All right. Well, I want to quickly, when we come back, bash the Lakers, who were the the betting prohibitive favorite before the season even tipped off back in the fall. They're not making the playoffs, and it seems like LeBron James is already clamoring to find his new team. Some interesting sound to play for you coming up next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. And if you want to join us, 617-779-0985.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub Celtics Show drives the lane.
Score it and the foul.
The Sports Hub Celtics Show and Boston's home for the Celtics. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You hear what your boy said?
Who, my boy?
Take a listen.
Who else you want to play with?
In today's game, Steph Curry. Yeah. Steph Curry's the one that I want to play with.
Oh shoot.
The chef.
You know what? Hey. He might want to play with you next weekend now.
That is phenomenal. When did he say that? Was that on the shop?
Yeah.
I guess the latest one, okay. Yeah.
Nah. Well, we got his wish, so he's the captain. He's picked me the last two All-Star games, so I don't know if that suffices, but I'm good right now.
That's so great from Steph Curry. Oh, LeBron wants to play with me? I'm good. So... if you couldn't make some of that out, LeBron James in his latest episode of The Shop on HBO, he was asked, you know, who would you like to play with what you have left in your career? Oh, Steph Curry. They play that clip for Steph Curry, and he goes, well, yeah, that's cool. I mean, we've played in all-star teams. He's picked me. But, like, in real life, him on the Warriors? Yeah, no, thanks. No, thanks. I'm good. He's already clamoring to find his new team, Chris. So the Lakers... out of the playoffs, the prohibitive betting favorite at the beginning of the season, before anyone tips off, oh, this is a super team. The Lakers are now going to win another title here. They ended up the 11 seed. LeBron not playing these last couple of games, even though it looked like he was still trying to vie for the scoring title. Has the quote-unquote ankle injury. I use air quotes there because I think it'd be a terrible look if he tried to still try to get that thing and qualify for it. What a hilarious mess that thing turned out to be. But here he is already clamoring to find his new team.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like he's going to, you know, try and get his way out of there unless they can figure something out. I mean, so you were more familiar with that sound than me. Was he trying to recruit Steph Curry to the Lakers, or you think he was saying he wanted out?
Oh, I think he wants out.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't he doing this at the All-Star game, too? Wasn't it? Like,
that's
he
true.
Was trying to kind of fish around to, you know, put it out there that, hey, maybe I would jump to the... Yeah, he wants to play with Bronny.
He like, wants to play with... That's what I thought his answer was going to be. Like, who do you really want to play with? Oh, Bronny. You know, it's his son who's still in high school. The other thing that's interesting here is I don't know how much you followed the situation with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, a little bit. I know he recently apologized to him because he feels like how he's, you know, some of the things that he's, the ways he's, LeBron's handled himself, it's beneath him.
It's interesting because the comments that Kareem made overall were very positive about LeBron.
Right.
But obviously that one part sort of got pulled out. And it's just weird. I don't know. There's something I don't like about Kareem having to apologize to LeBron. Just feels a little like dirty there.
Well, it feels beneath him.
Yeah. And I almost wonder if that plays into what we're talking about, where the Lakers feel like LeBron's like a flight risk. And they're like, Kareem, you got to apologize to this guy.
Oh.
You know, you got it. We can't. LeBron or LeBron's crew goes to Jeannie Buss and is like, what's with this? We got Lakers legends criticizing LeBron, and they're like Kareem, you gotta. We know you have a statue outside Staples, but you have to.
Well, he is hypersensitive. I would
apologize.
I could see that.
And then they're like, if you apologize to this guy, we'll do a big 75th birthday cake for you on the court, which is what they did for Kareem.
But it's just, it's kind of unbecoming. Like, and it gives ammo to people like me. Like, look, he is one of the all-time greats.
Oh, totally.
I get, you know, blood-boilingly angry when people are like, no, he's the best of all time.
No, that's absurd. Short,
like, I just think
absolutely
you're a flat-out idiot if you think that.
Yeah, just watch the games. Like, stop counting stats and watch the games.
And do you understand, like, this kind of thing gives ammo to people like me that want to dog him a little bit, and it's like, well, again, Jordan would have never done something like this.
No.
like, you know, jumping around trying to find the best situation so you can win another title. Like, if he were to do that again, like, that's what that sounds like to me.
But Jordan most definitely would be out there for these last two games trying to win the scoring title.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, 100% would be out there. And there wouldn't be a lot of passing involved. It would be like, no, I'm winning this scoring title. Like, get out of the way, you know, John Paxson.
He's that kind of psycho. And we talked about this around the All-Star game, at least on Phil Gromez. Would you ever take him here?
LeBron?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd take him. Yeah. Why not? I take him. I mean, he's still a fantastic passer. I mean, I think if he's on a team where he doesn't have to, at this stage of his career, where he doesn't have to do as much,
yeah,
I think he'd be a great guy to have. If he could segue into more of like a facilitator role, I mean, it's amazing at his age to be able to go out and score 30 a game. But I feel like that's also a function of how bad the Lakers are. But if you could put him on a team with some real talent around him where he can whip the ball around and throw some of the passes he throws and do his thing, yeah, I would take LeBron.
Yeah, were you surprised that that thing was as big of a disaster as it was this year?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It sort of echoes of, what was it, when they put together, what was it, Nash, Karl Malone. Remember that whole thing
they tried
to do? And it didn't work out. Also, sort of, you know, when Dwight Howard was there, right? Dwight Howard and Kobe. Sometimes that stuff just doesn't click. And I think Westbrook, at this stage of his career, is probably too similar to LeBron in terms of, I need the ball, I'm going to have to drive. Like, they don't have enough floor spacing. I like some of their role players. I like Malik Monk, but they don't have a lot of defense. They don't have a lot of rim protection without Anthony Davis, who's constantly hurt. That's a bigger question, I think. Like, if you were a Celtics fan, would you take Anthony Davis at this point? I still would, but he's a walking injury.
Yeah, like, what are you giving up? I wouldn't give up anything, like, real for him.
What if you had to give up Time Lord? The fact you're hesitating shows you like how far Anthony Davis has fallen.
Yeah, because he's one big walk-in injury. So is Robert Williams. But no, Anthony Davis, especially this year, is like, this guy kind of like stinks now. Like, he's just, he really is. He's very limited, and he's always hurt.
Always hurt. Always hurt. I mean, that's sort of the issue with him. So it's going to be interesting to see what that team does. I mean, I'm just throwing this out there. I have not heard anything about this. I don't know anything about this. I don't even know if the money would match. And we don't have B-Rob here to shoot down my crazy trades, you know, because he knows the CBA inside and out. But if I were the Lakers, I would offer, and if I were the Nets, I'd do this too, Anthony Davis for Kyrie Irving.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, those are like one pain in the ass for one hurt guy that never played. At least it's like junk for junk, kind of, you know?
But I think the Nets could use the rim protection.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, LeBron could use somebody like Kyrie who can knock down shots, and Kyrie's played off him before. And obviously you have to figure out what the heck you're going to do with Westbrook. But I would look into that if I were the Nets or the Lakers. I think that would be an interesting, like, problem-for-problem trade.
All right, headlines here, and then the final hour of Gasper Murray. You want to join us? 617-779-0985. Give you the latest here, including horrible news about Dwayne Haskins today, and then get into the final hour of the show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.